Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Spooky Tales for Edna. I am Sir Sinister, and I will be your guide through these spooky stories, these terrifying tales, these yelp-inducing yarns. So without further ado, let the spine-tingling tale begin. Wolves in the Well. Sally pulled her coat closer against the icy wind. Her muscles ached as she climbed the hill to the well. The wind was trying its best to blow her back the way she had came, but she pushed on. Her teeth chattered, clicking together like Father's ancient typewriter. As she finally made it to the top, she turned back towards her house, clinging to the crumbling well for safety against the wind. Sally's tall, rickety house stood crookedly at the foot of the hill. It seemed to sway slightly in the wind, as if waving, congratulating her on her adventurous climb to the well. Sally waved back, a wide smile spreading beneath the scarf tied around her dimpled chin. She was 7 and had been living here her whole life. Her father was a writer and bought the house to give his mind space from the bustling towns and cities he had lived his whole life. He had very little success, though, spending most of his time locked away in his study, his typewriter clicking and clacking under his eager fingers. Sally's mum, on the other hand, was warm and loving, always ready to tell a joke or chase you around the table for that extra cuddle. She looked after Sally and her older brother, Edmund. Life was good. Quiet, but good. And on this day, as Sally completed her chores, it was always the youngest who fetched the water from the well. She could not help but love everything about her life, and not even the wind could blow the smile from her face. Now, dear listener, you could switch this off now. Except this is the end of the story and never come back. Just remember sweet Sally as the smiling, lovable scamp she is, and never hear the tragedy that finds her. No? Well, let's continue. Pulling hard on the rope, Sally began to heave the large bucket up from the well. She was much too small to carry this behemoth of a bucket back down the hill, so instead she filled up several small glass bottles tucked away in her large woolen coat. They clinked merrily in her pockets, eager to be filled with the cool, refreshing well water. Sally tried to whistle, but the sweet tune was blown away in the fierce wind. Then, as the bucket was about halfway up the well shaft, she heard it. It started low and rumbling, like a volcano deciding that it was time to make its mark, and slowly it built into an echoing chorus. "Wolves!" whispered Sally in shock. "Wolves in the well!" She turned, half running, half rolling down the hill, the bottles clinking wildly in protest for her to return and refill them. The wind pushed her onwards, helping her to flee back to the safety of her home. Her mind moved quicker than her feet. Wolves? In our well? How did they get there? What do they want? Sally reached the base of the hill and dashed to the front door of her house. Seizing the handle, she pulled it with all her might. But the wind had different ideas. Although it helped her down the hill, it was now trying to keep her out of her home, pushing fiercely on the wooden front door. She pried open and slipped into the front hall. "Mum!" she shouted, not bothering to remove her dirt-covered boots. "Dad!" There was a noise from the kitchen, and a few moments later, Sally's mother appeared wearing an apron and oven mitts.
"What is it, sweetie? Are you all right?"
"Wolves!" panted Sally. "Wolves in our well!"
Sally's mother's concerned face broke into a wide smile.
"There are no wolves in our well, Sally. There are no wolves around here at all."
"I heard them,"
Sally continued, eyes wide with worry.
"They were howling at the bottom of the well."
"Come on now,"
her mother said, placing a soft mitted hand on her back, guiding her to the kitchen.
"I've made some butter biscuits. Come on, try one."
Now, dear listener,
It is often true that adults can doubt the thoughts and fears of a child, and this can quite rightly be the correct decision. However, once in a while, it is worth listening carefully to what young ones have got to say. This was the case for dear Sally. Sally sat nervously on a kitchen stool. Why wasn't she being taken seriously? Her mother sat opposite, and a mountain of butter biscuits were piled high between them. It was the wind, Sally. Please don't worry. This didn't calm her nerves much. She knew the wind, had heard it blowing countless times, and this was not what she had heard up there on the hill. Look, her mother said, seeing her attempts to banish her daughter's fears had failed. Maybe you did hear a wolf in the well. Sally's eyes widened in alarm. But, continued her mother, trying to stop the flow of fear before it began, if you really think about it, why would a wolf want to be down a well? This did make Sally stop and think for a while. Why would wolves want to be down an old well? Water, maybe? But how would they get back out? As Sally was lost in her thoughts, her mother got up and helped Sally take off her coat, which she had refused to take off when she first burst through the door. The empty bottles clinked expectantly in her pockets, and her mother sighed. Well, we still need water for today. I'll send your brother up instead. Sally sighed with relief and leant forward to grab a biscuit from the pile in front of her. Wolves wouldn't mess with your big brother, would they? Her mother said with a smile before leaving to find Edmund. No, he was much bigger and much stronger than Sally. They would have a much harder time scaring him away. Sally looked around the bright kitchen and felt her panic melting away. Maybe it was the wind. Like her mother said, why would wolves be in a well? She thought of the noise she had heard and a shiver wriggled up her spine. She wasn't scared of the wind. Mum, Sally said, pushing a few butter biscuits into her trouser pockets. I'll go with Edmund to be on the safe side. Now, dear listener, as you may have noticed, Sally is a sweet girl who cares for nothing but her family, and that includes her annoying brother Edmund. Even if these wolves were imaginary, she did not want him facing them alone, so she decided to climb that hill again. But what they found at the top was far from imaginary. As Sally tramped back up the hill with her now very irritable brother, he was on his phone with his girlfriend when his mother suggested he helped his sister, the knot in her stomach began to tighten again. She kept trying to reassure herself by snatching glances at Edmund. He walked beside her, but it was very difficult to be reassured, as he had a face like thunder. Why can't you just not be a baby for once? He finally grumbled as they approached the top of the hill. Sally opened her mouth to reply, but then shut it again. She did not want to fight him. She needed to save her strength for the wolves. Edmund tutted loudly and shook his long, greasy mane out of his eyes. The wind had died down now, and as they approached the ancient well, there were no sounds to be heard, especially of howling. Suddenly, a large howl erupted from behind Sally, and she felt her heart jump into her throat. She spun around, flailing her arms, trying to push away the savage attacker, when she noticed Edmund doubled up on the ground in fits of giggles. That's not funny, Sally said through gritted teeth, tears prickling the corners of her eyes. Oh, is the baby going to cry? The big bear wolves are going to get her. Sally turned, her hand clenched into fists, and her nails digging deep into her palms to stop her from screaming. Edmund, still chuckling darkly, grabbed the end of the rope and began to heave up the large bucket. One positive thing of having this oaf of a brother with her would mean he could carry the whole bucket down the hill, rather than her filling up individual bottles. He heaved on the rope, his loose jeans threatening to fall below his waist.
and the bucket slowly crept up the well shaft. As it neared the top, he turned to Sally and smiled.
"Now, if there are any wolves," he said in a mocking tone, "be sure to quickly get help, or they might invite a few lions and tigers to get us too."
Sally stared at him, wishing his stupid hair would catch on fire. He kept pulling on the rope while glancing back at Sally, an annoyingly superior look on his face. Then, it all happened so fast. As the brim of the bucket came into view, a large, slobbering mouth came with it. Edmund began to turn, seeing the horror in Sally's face, but it was too fast. The horrific jaws of the beast clamped around Edmund's right shoulder and pulled him down into the well. With no one holding the rope, they both plummeted out of sight. Sally had forgotten how to breathe. She stood, rooted to the spot. Then she seemed to come to her senses. She flew down the hill, screaming at the top of her lungs. Now, dear listener, there is a lesson to be learnt here. Always listen to someone who thinks they've seen or heard something dangerous, no matter where it is. And poor Edmund found this out the hard way.
"Now take a deep breath and tell me again," said her mother calmly, stroking her hair.
Sally had barely made it through the front door before collapsing into a heap of sobs. Her mother held her tight, propped up against the wall underneath their winter coats.
"A wolf! Got Edmund! Dragged him into the well!"
said Sally, gulping down air.
Okay. I'm sure it's just Edmund having you on."
She looked towards the door and her voice changed.
"I'll kill that boy when I lay my hands on him. He'll wish wolves had got him."
"They did!"
cried Sally.
"We need to help him!"
Before either of them could stand up, there was a soft knock at the door. Sally's mother untangled herself from her daughter, brushed herself down, and opened it. In the doorway stood Edmund. But was that Edmund? His long hair stood up instead of its natural greasy flop. His nose seemed to protrude further out from his face than normal. In fact, you could barely see his face through thick grey hair.
"The wolf!"
stammered Sally.
"What?"
her mother laughed, throwing a menacing look at Edmund.
"This is your daft brother. Get in here now, Edmund."
Edmund awkwardly stepped through the door, half walking, half hopping. Now he was in the house, Sally noticed how bent over he seemed. His ears stuck out awkwardly, and his clothes hung loosely off his body. This was not Edmund. This was a wolf in his clothing.
"Now,"
said her mother sternly, clipping Wolf Edmund around the ear.
"Up to your room, straight away!"
Wolf Edmund let out a low growl that his mother obviously mistook for a normal teenage grumble as he sloped away towards the stairs. Sally's mother turned away and did not notice when the wolf got onto all fours and sprinted up the stairs as quickly as he could.
"He will not be getting dessert for a week," she said indignantly.
"Mum, can't you see? That isn't Edmund. It was a wolf."
Now, dear listener, maybe you've experienced this for yourself, but adults tend to see what they want to see. Although it was plain as day that was not Edmund, but in fact a ravenous wolf, that would not have registered on any adult's radar. But for someone like Sally, these sneaky beasts would not get past her keen eye. Unfortunately, the wolf would be getting his dessert, but it was not the apple crumble that Sally's mother was intending. Sally crept up the stairs. Her mother was no help. She couldn't seem to understand the terrible situation they found themselves in. There was a wolf in the house. Edmund was gone. But there was one person left that could help. Her father. He spent every moment of his days writing far-fetched stories, so for
anyone was able to understand this situation, it would be him. She reached the top of the staircase, jumping the final step which she knew creaked. Her father's study, where he would often hide away for days at a time, stood at the end of the hallway. Sally bit her lip. She would have to go past Edmund's room to get there. Gathering up all the courage she had, she began to move slowly down the hall. She pressed herself to the opposite wall to Edmund's room and slowly slid down towards her father's study. The silence pressed in on her. She could hear the faint humming of her mother downstairs, busying herself with odd jobs. Sally reminded herself to breathe. She could hear the faint clicking of her father's typewriter, which was beyond his study's door. It was only meters away, but it felt like miles. Sally was now face to face with Edmund's room. A large claw mark was gouged out of its wood, and the handle looked as if it had been chewed. I suppose wolves aren't great at opening doors, thought Sally. She listened hard, but could hear nothing on the other side of the door. She continued towards her father's study. Not daring to take her eyes from Edmund's door, which was now the wolf's den, she slowly crept closer to her destination. Now, dear listener, I know we want poor Sally to be the hero of this story, that she will chase the wolves away and live a happy life, but we should know by now that these stories don't ever go that way. As she pushed the door gently open, just enough for her to slide through, she realized she hadn't seen her father for a few days. This wasn't unusual, as when he got a whiff of a new story, he couldn't stop until it was on paper. The room was dark except for the dim light shining through a small circular window on the far side. Stacks of paper and journals littered the room, creating a small paper forest. Slumped over on his large wooden desk was the outline of Sally's father. She let her muscles untighten in relief.
"Dad,"
she said in a small voice, taking a step forwards towards him. Click, went the typewriter.
I just wanted to see if you wanted one of Mum's biscuits. She just made some,
she continued, forcing her voice to sound cheery and bright but failing. Click, click. She moved closer. Something wasn't right about her father. His shoulders stuck out sharply from his back. His arms were long and thin. He sat awkwardly on his wooden chair, as if he was trying his best not to slide off.
Dad?
Click, click, click. Sally's breathing quickened. As she came closer, she could see a long snout where her father's thin nose should have been. Pointed ears stuck up from a mane of hair. A low growl rumbled from its stomach. Sally caught sight of the page being typed on. It had one word repeated over and over. Wolf. She turned on the spot and leapt for the door as she heard the chair slip from beneath the wolf. Panic-stricken, she dived back through the hole she had come through, and as she did, she felt hot breath on the back of her neck. Spinning quickly, she took hold of the door handle and yanked it closed. There was scratching and scrabbling from the other side.
Good thing they aren't good with doors,
she said to herself, fear coursing through every vein. There was a crash from downstairs of pots and pans. Edmund's door was wide open. Taking three steps at a time, she sprinted downstairs. Jumping the final several steps, she landed in the entrance hall. The kitchen was a bomb site. Pots and pans laid scattered on the tiled kitchen floor. The plate of butter biscuits was smashed, and biscuits had been catapulted in every direction. Yet her mother was nowhere to be seen. A fluttering curtain caught Sally's attention. The window. Lunging towards it, she looked outside. The sight made her heart do a somersault. Being dragged up the hill by a wolf was her mother. Now, dear listener, Sally was obviously scared out of her wits. But there is one thing that can happen when you are gripped by fear so strong, and that is a surge of unbelievable bravery. Most people would get rooted to the spot, but a few, like Sally, take action. And that is exactly what she did. The wind had picked back up and changed direction, now pushing her up the hill. She had forgotten to grab her coat before leaving and shuddered in its chill. The wolf that was dragging her mother was almost to the top. She could see her mother's mouth screaming, yet the words were being whisked away by the wind before they could be heard. She charged on, glaring at the wicked beast now trying to lift her flailing mother over the edge of the well. As the wolf saw Sally approaching, it released her. Her mother scrambled away and collapsed in a heap. The wolf showed its long set of teeth menacingly, and then began to sing. Well, 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 what have we here? We got a well full of wolves, and now you're quaking with fear. But before you run home and you throw in the towel, maybe you should listen to what they're trying to howl, and they say, we don't want to be the wolves in your well. It's cold down here. We don't want to be the wolves in your well. So can't you hear? We don't want to be the wolves in your well, no. We just want to see the sun one last time. Well, 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 why do you know? The wolves have come out and now they're wearing your clothes. And maybe if you'd help, but nobody knows. But sadly, that's not how the story goes, cause we don't wanna be the wolves in your well. It's cold down here. We don't wanna be the wolves in your well. So can't you hear? We don't wanna be the wolves in your well. No. We just wanna see the sun one last time. Well, 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 what can I say? Things would be different if we had been saved. But sadly, today is not your day. So this is the last time that we can say that we were the wolves in your well, but not anymore.
As the wolf's howling song came to an end, Sally realized she had been the wicked one. When she had heard the howls before, she thought they were howls of anger, not of sorrow. She realized that the poor wolves had been stuck down this horrible well, and she had not helped them. She ran to find someone who could keep them down there instead. With shaking hands, she approached the snarling wolf.
"No, Sally!" screamed her mum. "He'll eat you!"
Ignoring her wailing mother's pleas, she continued to creep forwards, hand outstretched. The wolf bared its teeth, ready to strike. Sally's hand was inches away from the beast's neck. She could feel its anger, its rage. And then she wrapped her arms around it, like her mother would do if she was scared. She felt the rumbling growls slowly disappear. Its snarling jaws relaxed. It laid its head softly on Sally's shoulder.
You see, dear listener, scary things can sometimes be as scared of you as you are of them. The wolves actually lived happily with the family, and when they pulled the bucket up from the well, who else would they find but Sally's father, fast asleep, balanced in the large bucket. He went on to write book after book about these amazing wolves from the well, and they were more than happy to share their home. As you see, they now had a spare room. Edmund was unfortunately... Well, these wolves had been down there a long time and had worked up quite the appetite. And how do I know this story, you ask? Well, I had to get rid of my ravenous wolves somewhere,
Where better than a well? Ha 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 ha!